What fuels the decisions on how you feed yourself? There's a story behind it, and we want to hear yours at 877-8-MY-TAKE, or you can email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org. And it's all about what we're going to be talking with Gregor Reid about. He's a microbiologist from the Lawson Institute and the University of Western Ontario in London, Ontario, where he joins us from. Gregor, thanks for being with us.
Good morning.
Now, as a microbiologist, you're going to study something that, actually, if you go to the supermarket, you can see on the label, foods like yogurt are not simply uncooked, they're alive, correct?
That's right. In fact, it shouldn't be called yogurt if it didn't have live organisms in it.
There's all kinds of foods that are beyond, raw. They're actually living foods. And you're getting a chance to study yogurt's impact in actually combating HIV. First of all, why are you taking a look at this, and what do you expect to find?
Well, the university has a group of staff and volunteers that were very interested in trying to help the plight of people, particularly in Africa, with HIV/AIDS crisis. And, of course, yogurt is not going to cure AIDS, or we don't really even know the extent to which it helps immunity yet, although we have some suggested research that it does help immunity. But the bottom line is many people don't get access to food and certainly don't get access to antiretroviral therapy. So our idea was, could we provide a nutritious food that helped quality of life in a community that was extremely poor and struck by the HIV/AIDS epidemic?
So this is not a prescription or a suggestion on your part that people who are HIV positive go out and buy 2 gallons of yogurt to eat over the next week. But why is it that a living food, food with living organisms in it, would help or interact with the immune system in a way that could actually improve health?
Well, the organisms, we call them probiotics, but they're essentially lactic acid bacteria. These are beneficial bacteria that have been around for centuries. In fact, it's even quoted in the Bible where they made sour milk. So these are organisms we've used in food for fermentation for a long time. And scientists in the last, I've been doing it for 27 years, but particularly the last 5 years, have shown that these organisms do a lot of things that help us. So, for example, if you have HIV/AIDS in Africa, the chances are you have what we call a leaky gut. And studies have shown, for example, here in Toronto, that if you give these organisms, they essentially help seal the gut so that it doesn't leak as much. About 90% of HIV/AIDS patients suffer from diarrhea, and these organisms help to alleviate that and in some cases prevent it. So in terms of quality of life, we've shown that fatigue, tiredness, so when you can't eat or when you're not absorbing the food, then you get tired, you don't feel like working. And in Africa, people work every single day because that's how they sustain their life. So it's very interesting. We are studying, and others are studying, the mechanisms where these organisms do, in fact, help the gut. And it's the gut where we're focusing through the food.
And you've got a grant from the World Bank to actually study this. Yet, as you have described, the supposition that living organisms are a help in health in people's food goes back a really long way in history. Why is it that it hasn't been studied and the mechanisms aren't better understood?
It's pretty amazing, really. We would be dead today if we didn't have bacteria inside us. In fact, we have 10 times more bacteria in our gut than we have in total human cells. They just happen to be smaller, obviously. So they're absolutely integral to life and many, many aspects of life. And I think what's happened is it seemed too simple, and we've got so many antibiotics and drugs, and for years and years, people just weren't interested, and it wasn't sort of a sexy scientific area to study, and so people would rather go in and look at, new antibiotics, et cetera.
In a sense, what you're saying is there's more money available to kill germs in food rather than to nurture them.
Oh, absolutely. And you just need to switch on the television in the U.S. and you'll find all kinds of adverts that are aimed at killing bacteria. But it's like killing yourself. Why would we do that? There's some bacteria like Salmonella clearly you want to get rid of, but most of our organisms are extremely beneficial and essential for life.
So we really have to change our whole approach to food to understand this better. For instance, instead of, ooh, there's germs on your food, I'm not going to eat that, instead it's just the opposite. No germs on your food? Ugh, That's disgusting.
Yeah, I mean, I'm certainly not saying some of our food can be contaminated. If you eat a raw hamburger, then the chances are you will get sick. But we're talking about we've changed from a human species that ate a lot of plant roots and a lot of fermented food. When I was a kid in Scotland, my mom didn't have a fridge, so we bought fresh food, and we probably ate more fermented food because these organisms are in fermented foods. And so we've gone from that to a lot of two-year shelf life and essentially food with no organisms at all because we're so paranoid about those that will make us sick. And so we need to have a balance between, yes, let's have the hygiene, it's incredibly important, but also let's have a way to feed our gut with these organisms and foods that help the organisms inside us to grow.
And beyond simply helping us, the medicinal qualities may be a tool in the war on AIDS in Africa and around the world. The World Bank has sponsored Gregor Reed, microbiologist from the Lawson Institute and the University of Western Ontario in London, Ontario, to study the effect of probiotic organisms in foods like yogurt on the spread of the disease AIDS. Thank you, Gregor.
Thank you.